Here we are, Night of the Living Threads once again. Except we have a little bit different layout tonight. Malice is not with me this evening, but I am not alone. I want to before I introduce my guest here. I just want to say, GoreHoundsOfHorror.com. Check them out, man. These guys and gals, there's some cool people over there. And check out Gorehounds of Horror on Facebook. They have a page and a group. The group, as I've mentioned in previous podcasts, it is a closed group. So, you know, it involves, you know, rituals and sacrifices in the woods, you know, with small farm animals. But it is well worth it. Nobody, you know, really gives a shit about small farm animals, so it is worth it. Check them out over there, and then, of course, don't forget to stop over by nightoflivingdreads.com. Dreads with no A. And again, I am Otis B. Dreads. And this evening, Malice is, he's actually expecting a little girl here in a new addition to the family. So congratulations to Malice. When the time comes, I think that will be on the next day or so. So he is busy getting some things in order for that. But nonetheless, boy, do we have a history lesson for you tonight. When I say we, I mean myself and a very dear friend. He's like a brother to me, just like Malice. I got my good friend Bobby over here. How you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good tonight, man. Congratulations, Malice. That's
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. That I'm everything that I've heard. You know, the baby, you know, so far is healthy. There's no issues. So hopefully a smooth delivery, a addition to the Malice family. Yeah. And congrats as well, brother. But you guys might, if you guys listened to the Halloween show, I was a little hammered. We were having some drinks and some, you know, just bullshit ranting. Bobby was on that show with us.
Yeah.
And but tonight we're going to talk about Vlad the Impaler. And this is we had such a really good in-depth talk before we started recording, man. And first of all, why don't we just give, you know, why don't you tell a little bit about, you know, some of the things, you know, how did Vlad become this way? We, you know, because it involves the Ottoman Empire. Yeah. It involves the Catholic Church, which at that time, as you mentioned, pretty much ruled everything. I mean, yeah, the states were not here. The, yeah, you know, none of what we know now was here in the states. So there was really only, you know, a couple really big ruling, yeah, families that kind of ruled, yeah, you know, Europe and the rest of the world. Why don't you give us a little rundown, Bobby, on some history to kind of get us up to speed, why Vlad is the way he is, and how this all came to be, maybe.
Okay. Well, man, I'm glad Bram Stoker brought him to our attention. It makes for a really interesting history lesson when you read it.
Yeah.
You know, he might not have been known if it wasn't for that. But, you know,
agreed.
The actual facts and history of it are way better and way more bizarre than the stories. So, you know, the story of the Bram Stoker stuff. Mm-hmm. He was an interesting character.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see, if you want to put yourself in history, I've always thought, you know, really put yourself in history. Put yourself in the people's shoes,
mm-hmm,
you know, the people of the time and stuff. I think it makes for an even more interesting history than just,
sure,
reading it. Some people just boggle through it and they don't like it. And I understand that, I guess, mm-hmm, but... Well, his times weren't much different than what we're living in now.
No.
Now, it's pretty much the same. You know, like in America, we're separated, Democrat, Republican,
mm-hmm,
you know, and they fight each other, and the people are all divided against each other. The times were the same then.
Right.
Except for then, it was the Ottoman Empire and the Muslim world,
mm-hmm,
and the Roman Catholic Church throughout the rest of Europe.
Right.
And where they shared borders, that was pretty hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
And they were always vying for land, you know, and... Vlad lived in one of those lands that they both wanted.
What was his dad at that time that, you know, that you're speaking of? I mean, his dad also,
yes,
you know, was a ruler, yep, and whatnot. And, you know, he got into a little scuffle with the Catholics and the,
yeah,
the Ottoman Empire, which, yeah, resulted in his death and obviously affected,
yeah,
you know, Vlad very much.
Yep. Yes, indeed. And his dad was a whole nother story too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was the original Dracula. You know,
right?
The original
Dracula. Which means maybe a lot of people don't understand where the term Dracula came from, but it was the Order of the Dragon, which,
yes,
was what, kind of a secret society kind of thing. Do you know anything about that?
It was like in our times. It would be the same thing if we opposed both sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would be outcasts. We'd be against both sides. We'd,
right,
be outside of that kind of society, you know, and that's what they wanted. They wanted to keep their traditions in that area. You know, they wanted to play both sides too,
mm-hmm,
because they needed something from both of them as well.
Exactly.
But they didn't like either side. Even though they were Catholic and they took the side of the Catholic, they considered themselves more of a European,
mm-hmm,
you know, type of people.
Right.
They still knew that the Roman Empire was cutting deals with the Ottomans to give them land and things like that, so they didn't have to go to war with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time telling the people, you know, there are enemies and things like, you know, it's the same thing goes on. It's a same old story.
It's just a different time period.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it all does sound, a lot of people will, yeah, probably bring a lot of similarities to what,
yeah,
what goes on now.
And so the Order of the Dragon was pretty much, you know, a group of people that would get together and discuss this in secret,
mm-hmm,
you know, about their plans, about how we keep our society here from, you know, the Ottoman Empire at the time, which is really what they didn't want.
Which was the,
yeah,
biggest, you,
yeah,
know, most powerful, yeah, you know, empire army,
yeah,
at that time.
And they were considered at the time very brutal.
Right.
You know, so he had to
out-brutalize them.
Yes.
Right, right.
And he did.
Oh, absolutely he did.
Big time.
Oh, man, it's unreal. I mean, some of the things we're going to discuss because... Go ahead, Bob.
Well, that's the thing. What the discussion should be, and I think for most people it would be a debate,
mm-hmm,
is was he a hero or was he evil?
And we'll address that,
yeah,
throughout, because that is the kind of the dichotomy there.
Yeah.
And now those that live in that area, they idolize him, you know, because of the history.
And they did it in his own time as well.
And, you know, somebody so brutal was, you know, literally so adored and so loved. And, you know, because he was the protector, in a sense, he protected his people, his area, his territory. And, but yet, you know, did it in such a brutal way, which had, there was, you know, method behind the madness.
There sure was.
I mean, and we'll get into that. Before we get too deep, I think we will already take a small break, a little musical break, and that would be a song called Vlad the Impaler.
Nice.
By Gwar. It's been a while since I've listened to this song, but it popped into my head once we, you know, really started talking about Vlad. So we'll be right back. Night of the Living Dreads, gorehoundsofhorror.com. And nightoflivingdreads.com. We'll be right back. Enjoy you some Gwar. Welcome back, Night of Living Dreads. I'm Otis B. Dreads. I got my dear friend Bobby with me, and we are talking Vlad the Impaler. And, you know, there's a lot of hatred with Vlad towards the Ottoman Empire. We touched a little bit on it as far as his dad's death coming at the hands of the Ottoman Empire. There were also some other things that we were discussing during that little break. Gwar, that was Gwar, by the way. And one of those happens to be a time where him and his brother were captured and held prisoner. Why don't you get into that? Because that really starts to enlighten, the fact of his hatred towards the Ottoman Empire and what made him so brutal and relentless against what was the biggest empire at the time.
Yeah, well, when they captured them, they killed their father. I do believe, and my history could be wrong here, but I believe that they were held captive for 7 years.
About 7 years, wow.
From, you know, the age where he was around 10 years old, you know, on up. And they tried to, while they were held prisoner, they were pretty much free to roam, you know, where they were. And they were able to take in the culture of the Ottoman Empire for 7 years. And then being so young, I mean, they really, you know, would
maybe,
really...
Maybe made an impact.
Yeah,
you know,
it definitely would have. Well, it made a bigger impact on his brother, so much to the point that he actually took on their traditions and
did he ever join that army?
He sure did.
And so he was literally, you know, brother fighting brother, or him involved in an army that was after his brother.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, indeed. And when they released him, they eventually released him, and his brother stayed there, and did eventually join their military force, and. Vlad had a hatred towards his brother after that as well. Just, you know, couldn't stand him.
So basically his brother went the ways of the Ottoman Empire. Vlad went the complete opposite way.
He went his father's way.
He went the way of his father, who, did you say his father was still ruling when they were held prisoner?
When they were captured.
When they were captured.
They were held prisoner with the hopes that they would take on the Ottoman Empire's culture because they were next in line for the reign.
And they didn't want them to fall in line with their dad.
Yeah, exactly. They wanted them to go there and preach there, so take over the territory, have them as the rulers for them.
Because they knew.
Yeah, they would still give them the kingdom.
Right.
But you have to rule our way. We're in charge.
Right.
But you can have this territory, and your people have to live this way, and so on and so on. Take over their traditions, their culture. And he was totally against that, just like his father was.
Right.
You know, he's Dracula. He's the son of Dracul.
Right.
You know,
as we mentioned, the Order of the Dragon. That's what his father, you know, was named Dracul, and Dracula, as we know it, just means the son of Dracul, as you mentioned.
Indeed. And he vowed when he was released, he vowed that he was going to go back and take over his territory. Mm-hmm. He was going to rule just like his father did. He knew he was going to be a martyr. He knew it. He knew that I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to kill me for what I'm going to do, but I'm going to last as long as I can, and I'm going to protect my territory, because that's really what he was. He was a protector.
A protector, yeah.
He wanted to protect his traditions, his language. You know, he didn't want his children to be raised in that kind of way. Mm-hmm. That wasn't their tradition.
Right.
This was their culture, and that's why he had such a big military force as well, because... they believed the same thing. They wanted their culture to stay the same.
Now, do we know whether or not his father, as a ruler, was as brutal as he was? I'm just wondering if that brutality and that barbaric method of defending his people, his traditions, if that stemmed from maybe how his father ruled, or was it just strictly the complete and total anger and hurt that he felt when his father died, and the anger of his brother, you know, and it just happens to be his brother's joining the army trying to take over his shit, you know. Do we know anything about, you know, his dad as far as whether he was that brutal?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of writings from the day. You know a lot about his dad, and he really couldn't be more opposite from his dad. His dad was a...
more passive?
He was not very passive. He would fight, and he did fight, but he was more willing to make an agreement with somebody.
Negotiate.
He was a negotiator. Right. He wanted to, you know, I don't think he really... He had to give up a lot of land during his time.
Right.
He knew that he couldn't fight him. He couldn't get up the military force enough.
Mm.
But he wasn't the kind of guy who just would rather sit down at a table and make an arrangement rather than go to war. He knew that how powerful they were.
He was maybe more diplomatic, you know, would like to sit down with,
Whereas he thought in his mind, just like politicians do today, some of them think they can, some of them are more passive and back down. Mm-hmm. He was the same. His dad was the same way.
Right.
His dad thought these two powers that rule this whole world, because you've got to remember, this was before the Americas were ever noticed by Europeans. You know, this was before America. This was before any of that. Christopher Columbus did not sail the ocean blue by that point, you know?
Right.
And
air quotes.
Yeah. Air quotes there. But so this is all they knew, this European world and this Muslim world. And these are two huge powers that this group here that just wants to save their little part of the world, which is very small.
Right. We kind of compared it to maybe not even as big as Alaska.
Yeah, maybe even half of Alaska.
And right.
We're not talking really the whole of Romania. We're talking about some counties in Romania.
Right.
That's all they had left, and that's what they were defending, because by that point, the Ottoman Empire had taken over most of Romania.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and didn't really have to take it over. It was through negotiations with the Roman Catholics, which pissed them off too as Catholics. Mm-hmm. Most of them were Catholics. And so the time that they're living in really is just, you can go back to the time, but then if you think about it as of now, I mean, we still have that. It's a story as old as time.
It really is. It really is. So, you know, we
so,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, so that's why his dad was more of a negotiator. He didn't think that he could stand up to them.
Right.
Whereas Vlad, on the other hand, was just out for vengeance, knew he was going to die.
Vengeance.
Let's go out with our boots on,
right,
kind of guy.
Yeah.
Let's defend as long
guns
as we can.
Guns ablazing, you know, so to speak.
He knew the whole time, we're going to lose. I'm going to die. He knew that, without a doubt. And imagine living in his head. His father was killed. He was just held captive for 7 years. The Catholic Church didn't have his back like he wanted them to.
Mm-hmm.
And making negotiations with people he thought are our enemies. Pulled away from the Catholic Church.
His brother goes to the enemy in his mind. You know, very, very devastating for him.
Yeah. So at that point, you know, he pulled away from both of them. You know, he was, at that point, he turned his back on the Catholic Church. So there goes the Roman Empire, as we know it. The weakened Roman Empire at the time, really, but still a powerhouse. And now he's got both of them who don't like him. And the whole time, you know, the Catholic Church kind of knows that he's doing that, but still pretends to play along with him.
Right.
While at the same time, you know,
or just fucking with his head or something,
rigging it up so that he will lose for sure as quick as possible.
Right.
You know, behind his back. That's a big thing to face. And it was just, like you said, guns blazing and all is all it was. He was just going to try to save his culture for as long as he could, go out with his boots on, be a martyr.
Mm-hmm.
But he did it so brutally.
He really did. And that's what I think when, you know, anybody who doesn't even know the history, like, because you're a history buff, man. You love reading about the shit. I mean, you do a lot of research, which we can tell because you just drop some shit on everyone there. But, and it is very much appreciated. But most people, if you just mentioned Vlad, you know, the Impaler, they know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, his, you know, of course, Vlad the Impaler is not his full name. It's kind of a, you know, a nickname, if you will.
Right.
And you get a nickname by your favorite method of torture.
Right.
And this was torture. And hell, we could do a whole show just on his, you know, torture.
Yeah.
Methods and the things that he would do.
Right.
One, the all impaling. Yes, we've seen some of the old artworks, you know, of the victims being impaled. And we see them, you know, with it going right through their stomach or whatever. Actually, that wasn't the way it went. And it wasn't a sharp end. They, you know, a lot of people, if they were impaled, a lot of rulers that they did, you know, impale, their you know, intruders or enemies, then, you know, they may stick them on a stake and, you know, sharp point, just stab them with the motherfucker and just stick it up and just let them slide down till they die. Okay, form of torture. Vlad went one step over that. He took the rounded dull end of the steak, lubed it up, and shoved it up the rectum of his victim. That way, it would hit, the weight of the person would slowly pull them down. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Slowly they slide down as this thing just rips their insides up.
Yeah,
right through the old poop chute. That in and of itself, that's just one example, Bobby.
Yeah.
That's just one.
There's many.
Although, I mean, there's a lot of things he would do. He was a very, disturbed because of the loss of a parent, which is very hard to get over, and it is very hard to deal with, especially if you're extremely close to that parent. And I think that had a lot to do with it. I think the fact that, as we mentioned, his brother, going with the enemy. So, all of that anger and distress came out in the form of his torture methods.
Yeah.
And what do you have to tell us about anymore? We just mentioned the impaling. What else do we know there?
Oh, there's plenty of them. The 20,000 noses that
he
cut off.
Yes.
He would cut off noses.
And save them.
Yeah, and save them.
20,000. Just think about that.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it is. It's and weird.
And it's very weird.
Why would you cut off somebody's nose? 20,000 of them.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it was for any kind of offense. What Vlad hated the most was somebody who was untrustworthy, a liar. He did not like that. If you told him the truth, he would be your best
there
friend.
There was a delivery man. I'd like you to tell that story we talked about. I did not know about this.
Yeah.
But this really, because you had mentioned that, he liked the honesty. He hated a fucking liar. He would kill you if you lied to him. It wasn't like, I'm just not going to talk to you because you're a liar, like we do that now, okay, which is probably maybe the better route than going the Vlad way and, impaling your ass because you lied to him. There's a delivery boy who would bring goods in. Why don't you tell us about that? Because this really tested the boy, and it really gives an insight on how much Vlad valued honesty.
Yeah. And there's a couple different versions of the story, but it's a story from his day, which makes it, very interesting.
It does.
Is that they would have their deliveries brought in, once a week. It was, their gold deliveries, from their gold deposits and things like that. Deliveries to the castle so that they could run certain towns or whatnot.
Right.
And so the delivery boy comes in, and he's supposed to have 250 ingots of gold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on the shipment. But what the delivery boy doesn't know is that Vlad was testing him the whole time, because he had made arrangements with the people who were sending him the gold to send him 275 ingots of gold.
A little bit extra.
Yeah, a little extra. But the delivery person thought there was 250 ingots. That's what's on the report. That's what's in his shipment.
And that's what he figured was there.
And Vlad asked him, about the 250 ingots when he got there, and asked him to go down and count them. He said there should be 250 of them there. To count them. And he went down and counted them, and Vlad was thinking in his head he could steal 25 of these.
Absolutely.
Because
that's on record for being delivered.
Yeah. So he goes back in and tells Vlad, there's actually 275 ingots of gold, not 250 like it's on the report. And Vlad said, well, it's a good thing you told me that, because if you would have told me anything different than 250, you would be dead right now.
Right.
But instead, because of the honesty of this person, he made him his all-time delivery guy.
Nobody else could come into his territory and bring gold or anything.
Yep, and never mistrusted him again.
And that is such a testament to the fact of how Vlad valued honesty.
Yes, and traditions.
And traditions, yes. He was very, very big on traditions. You want to talk about that?
Sure, yeah. His traditions were, that's what he was trying to save, his culture, his traditions. When the boyars, he invited the boyars into town, which were his enemies, but he was trying to make peace treaties as well. He was
kind of
like,
going the way of his dad, in a sense.
Yeah, he was just like rulers today. I'd rather make peace than have to go to war with you.
Right.
Especially somebody so big. So he invited the boyars in, you know, to have a meeting and try to talk peace. And he asked the boyars while they were sitting at the table, you know, could you please remove your turbans while we're at dinner? Because that is our tradition. We don't wear hats at the table.
And again, this is a testament on the brutality.
Yeah, about how he appreciates his tradition and stuff so much, and honesty. And the boyar said, we never remove our turbans because of our religion. They were Muslim.
Mm.
And Vlad had his people come in and nail those turbans to his head. The whole time he's happening, he's telling the other person who's about to get it done, now you'll wear these forever. You'll never be able to take them off.
And just sat and watched them.
Yep, watched
that,
it happen.
That is fucking brutal, yeah. Dude.
Yes, very brutal. It's amazing.
That is absolutely brutal. And then I cannot remember who it was that was approaching his territory, but there was about 23,700 corpses.
Yes.
Laying around his territory, whether impaled or just laying there with no fucking nose.
Right. guts hanging out all over
guts,
the place.
Yeah, because he would disembowel people. Yeah. I mean, dismember them, rip their guts out. Yeah. I mean, not him personally, but by his orders.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you know, we mentioned, you know, we talked about this before we started recording, but his army.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had, you know, a decent sized army, and it was almost like a militia.
Yeah.
It, you know, it was that, as you mentioned earlier, it was kind of like the citizens, standing up, you know, taking arms, air quote, because of course they didn't have them then.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, standing because they believed in what Vlad was doing and the protection aspect. And they would be as brutal as possible to protect their livelihood, their traditions.
Yeah, I'll put it in a perspective that people can easily understand. It was exactly like the Revolutionary War.
Absolutely.
The United States, you know, we the people, you know, you had Britain coming in, the biggest military of the time. And a bunch of just regular people got out of their houses and went to war with the biggest military. It was the same thing at the time. They really believed in what they were doing.
Yes.
The people really followed him. He was a hero in his time.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was, I would say he was the early version of George Washington. If Britain would have won. That's what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
He was the George Washington that lost.
That's an interesting, that's an interesting comparison, but very accurate, I think.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty fucking accurate.
Yeah, that's how I look at him. He lost his revolution.
Yeah,
and he knew he was going to.
And he knew it, you know. And ways that we know he knew it was the fact that he was so paranoid. Because he felt he was always going to be assassinated, because he knew, like you say, he knew he was going to die, and he knew he was going to die a martyr, because before he dies, he's taking a shit ton of people out, and he's doing it very fucking brutally.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's an aspect of that we'll touch on here in a minute, but he would have people, he had one particular servant.
Mm-hmm.
Who would take and test all of his food, all of his drink, because of the paranoia and because him being, you know, worried he was always going to be assassinated. I mean, just, and you mentioned this earlier, you know, it's like, you know, just imagine, you know, you walk out the door, man, and at any moment you could be assassinated.
Yeah, absolutely. And
crazy.
It is crazy.
It was fucking crazy.
It's but that's why he did the things he did. I think he would impale people so that people wouldn't want to come there. That he would show brutality so that those people who would want to poison him would think twice, because if I get found out, he's going to do something to me that I never even heard of, torture wise.
Right.
And torture at the time, we was talking earlier about that. It wasn't just with, I mean, that was going on all over the world, all over the known world at that time.
Yeah.
Which was Europe, the Middle East, and Asia, you know, at the time. You know, there was different kinds. People were coming up with different stuff. It was nothing new. The torture was nothing new.
That was the vagina torture.
Oh, they had a, yeah, oh, God.
This is disturbing.
It was a ball. It's hard to describe, you know. It was a ball that was attached to a crank. and they would stick that in a woman's vagina, and when you cranked it, the ball would open up like a flower inside of her and break her pelvic bones.
Wow.
To torture. And they would go a little bit further at a time while they were questioning them. They didn't get the answer they wanted, a little bit more.
Mm.
And they would go all the way with it. This thing opened all the way up, 90-degree angles on every side.
Wow.
And so there was all kinds of torture method. And that was an English torture method.
Right.
You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. This was not Vlad.
So this was going on all over the world. But his wasn't just the torture. Imagine one of the greatest, what we would call generals of the Ottoman Empire, rode into his village with 20,000 troops, and coming across the stench and the sight of over 20,000 dead corpses on stakes. And this general that was supposed to be so badass.
Yeah.
Turned
oh, he was
and
fear.
Went home.
Yeah. Yeah. He was yes. fear. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I was getting to that point. Yeah, this guy was outside of Vlad, was probably one of the more feared rulers. He thought his ass was brutal.
Yeah.
And like you said, he came up to, I think they said it was about 23,000 corpses, impaled, noseless.
Yeah, rot.
You know, just you know, disemboweled. And yeah. Yeah, he was like, no, I don't fucking think so, boys. Pack them up. We're going home.
Yeah, this guy's doing shit I've never heard of. We're going home.
Yeah.
Man. I thought I was badass, but no.
And
man,
that, you want to see badass, motherfucker?
Right.
I'll show you badass. Right. You know, and Otis B. Dredge there, or Otis B. So, Drip, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's you know, really a, and which I wanted to get to this because, you know, I don't know, but I mean, maybe this is a good discussion topic here, but was the impalement and the barbaric methods that he used, you know, a product of his anger, his sadness over his dad, just things built up, so he took it out on any enemy? Or was it strictly, maybe he was not that brutal, because as you mentioned, he could try and be a peaceful man and try and negotiate at, you know, in the same aspect that his father did.
Yeah.
Or was the brutality and the barbaric methods just a not scare tactic, but, you know, it was, I can't think of the word. I'm wordless. intimidation.
I know what you're saying.
You know, more of an intimidating factor, right. Using fear. This is what you have coming to you, kind of thing. You know, what do you think? Do you think it was something that was brought up, you know, throughout his life, and he, and all the, you know, the pain that he may have dealt with,
right.
And the disappointments that caused him to do that, or do you think that it was just that intimidating fear factor, or maybe a combination of both? I'm kind of leaning towards maybe a combination of both.
I don't think Vlad would have been a brutal person at all if it wasn't for his father's death and his kidnapping.
Really?
I think he had such a love for his people, his culture, his nation,
right.
That ultimately that's what he wanted to do, is rule his nation with their traditions and things. But I think his father's death brought out the brutality in him.
Really?
I really do. I think
absolutely.
That gave him the extra push to really want to rule his kingdom, because he sees what these people are like.
No holds barred.
Yeah. It's almost like, I don't
care
if I die.
Yeah, whatever the cost.
You know, if I die, oh, well, I know I'm going to die. I don't care. I thought I was going to die in that prison camp for 7 years.
Right.
You know, I'm out, and they want me to be a part of them. I'm not. I'm going to hold true to my traditions. I love my people.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's what it is. He saw, just like now, you know, when you got different cultures colliding and different, you know, theories or opinions colliding,
right.
Man, you get people who are stuck in the middle. Mm-hmm. And those people who were stuck in the middle was him.
Yeah.
That's who he cared about. The people who were enslaved that had to pay your taxes to the Ottomans or to the Catholic Church. You had to pay homage to them. You know, you had to believe what they believe. You had to go along with them in every way, the whole time believing it, and they're turning their backs on you and giving your stuff to the Ottoman Empire.
Right.
You know, you're living in that kind of world, man. Everybody's your enemy at that point, except for your people, man, who also agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he had so many troops They actually believed in it.
And again, they were just pretty much citizens.
They were. They were.
I mean, this wasn't like an organized army, like you go and enlist. They did this voluntarily to protect their territory, their area.
And if you look at it in that essence, you know, Vlad wasn't going around and impaling these people by himself. It was all those troops. They had the drive and determination
absolutely.
And the hatred to do that.
They were as brutal as what his orders were because he was basically shouting orders, you know, this is how I want these fuckers to die, which is stick a stake straight up their ass.
And they were like, hell yes, because he was one of them, they were one of him. He was just in charge because he was the royalty there. Mm-hmm. But they loved him because that's exactly what they wanted. Mm-hmm. They wanted to stop the invasion of a group of Ottomans who would come down and completely enslave them. Mm-hmm. You know, people don't know about that kind of slave trade, but everywhere that the Ottoman Empire took over, guess what happened to the natives of them places? They were encompassed by Islam, and they were forced, you know, to be Muslims. You're Muslims or you're dead.
Right.
And you're slaved and you're less than us. Mm-hmm. He didn't want his people to live like that.
No.
He wanted to save them.
Which is odd because you know, as I mentioned earlier, if you take and mention Vlad the Impaler, you know, most people, you know, understand the brutality there, but yet the people living under his reign, he wanted them to be totally free.
Yep.
It's actually an ideology and a way to rule that I could get down with.
Right. I mean, you look at it, it's a dictatorship, but it's a monarchy, really, but it's only him.
Right.
But he's one of you, and y'all like him. This is who you like.
Right.
Can you imagine if everybody liked you as a president or something?
98% of the went to fucking Hitler. Yeah. So.
You know what I mean? Well, yeah.
But you know, I mean, the people loved him.
They did.
They
still do.
They still do.
Yeah.
You do not talk bad about Vlad if you go in that area. They celebrate him. And, you know, you'll see a lot of, you know, maybe Dracula stuff.
Yeah, you do.
Now, I like to talk a little bit about the, you know, Bram Stoker, Stoker.
Yeah.
Who was... He was from that area, wasn't he?
I think he was actually from London.
London, okay.
1870s, maybe.
Okay, yeah, and, you know, he was apparently intrigued by the story of Vlad Dracula and the history involved there and decided to write a book called Dracula, which portrays the Dracula we know.
Yeah.
The blood-sucking vampire, but there's not really a connection between Vlad and vampirism.
No,
there really isn't. So you know, and we discussed this a little bit earlier. You know, where do you think that connection comes from? What do you think of Bram took from that story? You know, because Dracula was basically, what we know as Dracula, the vampire, was basically just a character he made up, but very, you know, and loosely, in some ways, tightly based on the Vlad story.
Well, I think it's all boils down to his grave. And through history, you know that Vlad was actually beheaded and his head was sent to the ruler of the Ottoman Empire. His body was supposedly put into a grave in a church, Snargoth.
Mm-hmm.
And, when they had, you know, investigated through time, they had always assumed that he was in the grave.
Mm-hmm.
I think we get our later stories because when they did dig up his grave, they found only dog bones.
Right.
But even before that, I think, you know, it would have came because he actually dined among the dead. You know, he liked to eat among the impaled people.
Well, that's strange. He would actually have a table brought out amongst all these people that are dead or slowly dying through the impalement and just sit there and eat his dinner.
Yeah, and there were rumors in his time that he did enjoy it, and there were actually rumors in his time that he might like the taste of flesh, or
right, or dip his bread into the blood of the dying.
You know, while they're dying, he's enjoying their blood in front of them to make it even more gruesome for their death. And there's rumors of that even in his time.
We don't know if that's true or not for sure, but the whole blood thing, but that would be a real solid connection.
Yeah, and I think if Bram Stoker picked up on those traditions, I think he would have put two and two together and said, well, this guy must have liked, you know, to eat and drink people's blood.
Right.
And vampirism during the time was very common. In Bulgaria and Romania, they really believed in vampirism, that people could rise from the grave. If somebody got sick after somebody's death, they would blame it on the dead person coming in. They would go and dig up the grave and take the body and nail it into the ground and put a brick in their mouth.
A stake? You say it, somebody, they just like, you know, just drive
that's,
a stake.
That's where the stake stuff comes heart, from, because it really did happen with vampirism. They wanted to stake that person into place so they couldn't get out of the grave. They really believe this, and they're still finding in Romania and Bulgaria to this day a lot of vampire graves where people have done that. When they dig up certain areas for, you know, archaeology, they'll find these with bricks in their mouths and staked to the ground.
Wow.
And they really believed that during the time, so they put two and two together back in the day even and thought, man, this guy could come back from the grave.
Right.
He's a brutal person.
So that was kind of the thinking, you know, that
it was real thinking for them.
Right. That was real shit. I mean, you know, and now it kind of sounds almost like, you know, a fucking horror movie.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got, you know, because they're basically saying, you know, what they're thinking is, you know, Vlad is part of the undead.
Yeah. And we got, and this is, here's some facts for you, too.
Okay.
Vlad was in the 1440s and 1450s when his reigns were going on. Okay, they found vampire graves in Connecticut here in the United States from the 1600s. So vampirism thought was still going on through the 1600s. This lasted for a long time. People held on to this belief no matter where they went.
Right.
They're finding them here even in America. And this was way before the America time with Vlad.
Wow.
So that went on for a long time. It goes along with the Salem witch trials. People were very paranoid about the spirituality side of life. You know, when they saw somebody die back then from something that we know of today, like a flu or something like that, they equated that to possession.
Exactly. I was going to say, if you had somebody who, you know, was maybe schizophrenic, had some sort of, you know, and mental illness, it was always labeled as you're a witch.
Yeah. And we got to remember where it came from. That all came from the Catholic Church. That came from the Roman Empire. It spread its traditions still to this day.
Mm-hmm.
People still believe a lot of that stuff. And so, yeah, him being that way, his people being that way, raised by the Catholics, there you go. You know, they believed in it. They thought people could really rise from the grave. So the vampire story itself, Bram Stoker, I'm sure, caught on to real quick in that area, because it's still probably big to this day, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely think so.
There's probably traditionalists there, you know, old grandmas to this day, you know, thinking, well, my grandma would stake that person in the grave or something, you know. You know, it's just strong tradition there.
Right.
So,
you know, and you know, so his death, I did take a little bit of notes, not a lot, but I didn't get any on his death. Do you know, you said he was beheaded?
He died in battle.
He died in battle.
And
he beheaded in battle or captured?
He was.
And then beheaded.
He was killed and beheaded on the battlefield. And they were overwhelmed. They were losing so bad in that battle, but it was his last-ditch effort.
And this was the Ottomans?
Yep, the Ottomans. And there's rumors, and this isn't known as fact, but so I can't say it as fact, but there's rumors that his own brother was on that battlefield fighting against him.
That does not surprise me, because, you know, we had mentioned, you know, how his brother just kind of, you know, got completely indoctrinated by, you know, the Catholics and, you know, the Ottomans. And then join their military. So, yeah, I'm sure he was on that battlefield. What a weird story if it had been his own brother who decapitated.
Yeah, that would be weird, wouldn't it?
Man.
Wow. That'd make a really good ending to Vlad.
Wow. Jesus. But okay, so yeah, so he was you know, he died on the battlefield. He was beheaded. His head was taken to the Ottoman Empire, I'm sure, because they needed fucking proof or something that this guy was in fact dead. So there we go with Vlad's head.
Yep, and they stuck it on a stake in the middle of their biggest city.
Kind of as a, you know, a shot to him.
Yep, that we own this place now.
Yeah.
We're the masters.
Yeah, here's your fucking Vlad.
We got his ass. It took 6 years. We got him. He lasted for 6 years, man, and that big against that big power.
That was a huge power. Like, I mean, because that was a really good comparison, you know, with the Revolutionary War, because Britain had the, you know, the biggest army at that time, just like the Ottomans. You know, and Vlad. So, you know, now, you know, everybody, you know, yes, you know, well, what do you, you know, Dracula, what's the first thing you think of? Now, all I'm going to think about is fucking Vlad, because that is, you know, the Dracula. And it not the, of course, not the blood sucking vampire, but
even more brutal.
He was way more brutal.
Yeah.
And you know, boy, you talk about gore. My God, that soil must have been constantly soaked with blood.
Yeah.
Constantly. I mean, 23,000 fucking people, you know, just, you know, impaled, you know, right up through the old, you know, poop chute.
Yeah.
Or you know, dead or dying. I mean, can you imagine the screams and the agony? And that is just really kind of hard to fathom. I mean, if you think about it, you know, 23,000 people, you know, just laying there dying or dead.
Well, you know, what does a wild beast do when you back it into a corner, you know? They go all out, man. They're looking to shred you to pieces at that point, and that's exactly what happened.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah,
he was trying to. He was a defender. He was always a defender. He wasn't. He would go on attacks, but only because he had to preemptively do it. He knew they were coming, so we're going to attack you first.
And when you celebrate Easter, don't forget Vlad's Easter Massacre, where I think about 500 people were impaled from that one.
Yeah, that's a really nice thing.
Yeah.
Once again, he invited his enemies in for, you know, a peace talk. There was 500 of them.
Yeah.
And he asked them, how many rulers have ruled before me in my position in the past so many years? Mm-hmm. You know.
Testing them once again. Yeah.
And
testing
their
knowledge.
They didn't answer him because they knew what he was thinking. They had had dozens within the past 10 years, rulers beside his dad and before his dad. His dad ruled for a very short time because these people who were sitting at his table are the ones who had them all killed. And he
knew that.
Yep, he did. So he took most of them out, 500 of them, and impaled them on stakes. And the rest of them, who he left alive, were forced into slave labor to build his castle in Pinori. And they died there. They died. They worked until they died.
Yeah.
And if they didn't die, they were killed afterwards.
Yeah.
That's
brutal.
That is somebody who's making a fucking statement right there.
You ain't lying. That's received. Well heard.
Yeah.
I mean, and then that's how he did it. He was just balls to the wall. Yeah. You know, again, because of maybe the tragedy of losing his father, the disappointment and hurt that his brother turned on him and went with the Ottomans. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, and then, you know, of course, being, you know, and, you know, captured in prison by the Ottomans, trying to be indoctrinated, blah, blah, blah. You got to hear this bullshit every single day. And it just fueled him.
Yeah. And, you know, that's exactly... And I would like for people to get into this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Other people, is Vlad a hero or is he a villain?
Absolutely, yeah.
What do you think?
What do I think?
What you and everybody else, what do you think?
I think, because I almost have to side with the people that live there now and think that, yes, he is very much, I don't know if hero is the word. Maybe it is. I don't see him as a dictator. As we mentioned, you know, I think that his main goal was to protect his area at any cost.
Yeah, I agree.
And the more brutal and barbaric that he was, it actually kept motherfuckers out of there.
Yeah.
Because they saw that shit, like the one roller we mentioned, you can't think of his name, but he, you know, was supposed to be the most brutal guy running around, sees that. You know, I think I'm at the side with the people, you know, that actually live there now, you know, thinking, I'm sure, the same way the people that lived there then.
Yeah.
I think he, you know, he was a hero. He was a man for the people, and he did whatever he could at any cost. He tried to negotiate. When that shit didn't work, you died.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. And I can, you know, I can't condemn him for that, man.
I can't either, you know. Really, I mean, like I said, he got more brutal as he backed into a corner.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
the closer they got, the more brutal we got, yeah.
And he didn't mind being brutal.
No.
With all of his losses in his life, you know, this was his throne. You know, you guys are going to have to come and take it from me, but I'm going to give you one hell of a fucking fight before I die.
Right.
You're going to kill me, but you're going to get it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to punch you in the face before you kill me.
Yeah, throw punching, tank kick. You know, there's going to be a lot of, yeah, I'm taking a lot of fuckers with me.
Right.
You know? Because he knew, again, he knew that if he took this path, which he was so determined, and I think mainly driven by the loss of his father and his father ruling, and he was going that way.
Yeah.
Because, his brother went that way, which was a completely opposite of his father's ideology, and that's the way Vlad went. And, because of all this, I mean, now we have, you know, Dracula.
Yeah. And I think he used his barbarity to keep people out. He really was hoping, man, I'm going to be brutal enough that they won't want to come around me. That was his last ditch effort,
right,
to keep them away. I got to do whatever I can to keep them away. If it takes me being gross as fuck, I'm going to do it.
Done.
You know, didn't work. It worked for a while. Mm-hmm. Like I said, they did turn around and back away from that for a while.
Oh, he's scared. He scared a lot of motherfuckers off.
It was a good strategy for a minute.
It was. I mean, I'd probably do the same thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if I was in his shoes,
backed,
you know, I mean,
like
backed
that
into a corner. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to show you how brutal I can be, how barbaric I can be, how gory I can be. I'm cutting noses off 20,000 motherfuckers and I'm saving them.
Yeah.
What the shit is that all about?
Right. All those stories got out.
Yeah.
You know, nailing the turbans to their heads. It got out.
Mm-hmm.
And all of his enemies heard about it and was like, man, this guy is
intense.
He
wants to negotiate with us, take your fucking hat off.
Yeah. This guy is super intense, guys.
Yeah.
And he ain't fucking playing around.
He ain't pulling any punches, man. It's his way or nail in the head.
That's that. That's
done.
That's Vlad in a fucking nutshell.
It really is. And, man, I'm going to wrap this up. I want to thank you again, Bobby, for sitting in for Malice, as Malice, again, has a little one entering his family. I want to congratulate Malice and his family on their new addition, even though she is not here yet. Well, she will be by the time this podcast airs.
Right.
So congratulations to Malice, and thanks again, Bobby, man.
Hey.
This was really enjoyable.
Hey, man, it's always a good time. I like to have a good conversation, man.
And this definitely was.
I want to say congratulations again to him, too, man. Bringing another baby into the world, it's wonderful.
It's a really cool experience, man.
Yeah, babies are great.
But for maybe. Little curtain climbers.
Yeah, they're funny, man. I get a kick out of them.
Yeah. Any last words on Vlad? Anything you want to add, man?
I would just like to know what people think about him.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really interested because, is he a villain or a hero?
For
me, I'm leaning towards hero.
I am too.
So, you know, he gets a bad rap, I think.
I can understand his thinking, though.
You know, everybody should know why he's doing what he's doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you should always question why. As a matter of fact, that's my final thought on everything in the world, to question everything.
Sure. Absolutely.
And why was he that way? You know, why is anything the way it is? Deeply question it. Get deep into it, man. That's my final response.
And I think we touched a little bit on that, you know, as far as, you know, why he maybe was the way he was.
Indeed.
Being imprisoned by, you know, and all those things. His brother, his father, And I think they're all contributing factors to why he was. So when you look at it from that aspect, you can't really say, well, he was just, you know, he. And here's a point. Here, this will be my final thought, because I don't think we mentioned it. We mentioned him being a protector. He was not an aggressor. He did not, you know, there may have been one or two times that he went out, outside of his, you know, Transylvania, the area there, and fight. But for the most part, he was the defender.
Yeah.
He was just defending. You come to his shit and try to take his shit, you know, just like somebody coming into your house and trying to take what is rightfully yours.
Yeah.
What would you do?
Indeed.
I would be as brutal as possible, because when it does get out, nobody breaking into that fucker's house.
Right.
I'll have somebody impaled through their asshole in the front yard. But he was the defender. He was not as much as the aggressor going out and conquering. He had his place where his traditions lied, where he wanted to keep them alive, and he defended that place. And again, from that story and from that little bit of history of Vlad, we get Dracula, thanks to Bram Stoker.
Yep. He made a creature out of him for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks to Bram Stoker.
Bram. I can keep calling him Bram.
Thanks to him, you know, people know about Dracula. Because without him, who would know about him except for the people in that region?
Absolutely.
And it's an interesting story, man.
It
he was
really
an interesting
is.
Ruler. And one last little piece of factoids.
Mm-hmm.
George Bush is a descendant of Vlad Dracula.
Interesting.
Yep. So there's another little tidbit y'all can look up and research. It's fun.
Man. Filling that head with some knowledge.
Yeah.
All right. Again, congratulations, Malice. Thank you again, Bobby. I'm Otis B. Dredds. This has been Night of the Living Dredds, episode 13. And we've been talking about Vlad. I hope you enjoyed. I thought it was very informative, entertaining, in my opinion. I'm just not trying to pat my own back, but I thought this was a really good show. I hope you guys enjoy it. We will see you. Malice should be back, I'm guessing, by next week's episode. Bobby, you are always welcome to sit in. I get some more mics here in the Insane Asylum, but you're always welcome to sit in. It's always a good conversation. Yeah. Always have some good laughs.
I enjoy it, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you again. And I also want to thank everyone over there at Gorehounds of Horror, gorehoundsofhorror.com, Gorehounds of Horror on Facebook. Please check them out. Good people. Night of the Living Dredds is the house podcast for Gorehounds of Horror. Nightoflivingdreads.com. Dredds with an no A. Almost said with an A. No A. Dredds. See you next week. Thanks for listening. Out.
Things no one knows. We're going to die.